Thank you for your worship. Thank you for your obedience to the Lord. Very, very quickly, if you would, open to the book of Mark, chapter 4. And I realized that I did not finish the faithful life. I will come back to that at a later date. I just felt like we needed to go in this direction, at least for this Sunday, perhaps next Sunday also. It's good to have a new addition to our church, born in December, baby Arden King, Gringa's grandchild, Sandra's Gringa's grandchild. Amen. Beautiful baby. I tell you, it's just awesome. Great job. Great job. He's going to help me preach soon. Mark chapter 4, starting verse 35. I entitle this "The Master of the Deep." That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. So others got in their boats, and they were going to the other side with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, the back, of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Would you pray with me one more time? Father, I ask for your anointing upon this people, that ears would be opened, that hearts would be opened. I ask for your anointing upon your servant, that he might deliver this message with all the authority, yet the tenderness with which you laid it upon his heart. Lord, show yourself mighty, reveal yourself truly, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It had been a very long and difficult day for Jesus. The events of this day really began back in the third chapter of Mark, around verse 20, when he had confrontation with the Pharisees in verses 22 through 30. His family and his friends that he grew up with had heard what all was going on in Jesus' life. And they started proclaiming, he's lost his mind. He's gone crazy. And they tried to kidnap him and take him away. Verses 21 and then 31 through 35. Jesus had a whole multitude of people following him. They were wanting to get close to him. They were wanting to hear what he was saying. So he went in the mountains and he began to teach these people in parables. And then he pulled aside with some of his disciples and they were confused about the meaning of those parables. So then Jesus had to spend time explaining his parable to the disciples. During the day, and almost all day long, Jesus had sat in a little boat just offshore in the Sea of Galilee. He used that boat as his pulpit, and he preached to those multitudes that were there that had gathered to hear him in chapter 4, verse 1. When the day was over, darkness was descending. He called his disciples to set sail to the other side of the lake. So when darkness fell, the disciples were making their way across that little body of water. While they guided the boat, Jesus lay fast asleep in the rear of the boat. And suddenly, a furious storm fell upon them. Jesus was so weary from the business of the day, it didn't wake him up. He slept peacefully. This is one of the clearest portraits of his humanity, Jesus' humanity, the Lord's humanity in all of the Gospels. I am so thankful and I praise the Lord for understanding our weaknesses because he was there. He felt the weariness of body. He's able to sympathize with us when we get exhausted, when we get tired, when we want a respite. Psalms 103, verse 14. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. So sometimes we make ourselves feel guilty, but the Lord understands whenever we want to take some time off, whenever we want to. It's the hardest thing for me to do is to take some time off, to not be in the office or whatever. I feel so guilty. But it's not God that's making me feel guilty. It's me that's making me feel guilty. Some of you are a lot like me, and some of you, nah, you're nothing like that. Man, I remember my dad one time saying, and I was kind of prideful at first. He said, I'll tell you one thing about my son. He is not afraid of work. And I'm beaming. Yeah. He says, he'll sit right down next to it and he'll even go to sleep right next to work. He ain't afraid of it. Some of you there. Most of our Lord's disciples were used to being on the sea. They were fishermen. They had been on the Sea of Galilee making a living. And some events would take place. Some events would occur this night that would change their lives forever. Those events that took place that night would change their perspective of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This miracle is the first of four that over the next months I would like to share with you. So we'll take them one at a time periodically, because I'm still on faithful also. That night in the storm, the disciples found themselves in a fight for their lives. I've been there. I know what it's like. I've been on the Bering Sea during a sudden storm. I've been at the mouth of Cook Inlet in Alaska, in a very small boat, 80 miles from shore, with 20-foot waves. I know what that's like. I made my peace with God because I really didn't think that I would live through that night. It was difficult. That's where they were. The disciples found themselves in a fight for their very lives. They experienced the Lord's power to deliver them. And they lived to tell the tale about it. So I would like for us to climb into that boat. I'd like for you to put yourself right there with the disciples as they cross that Sea of Galilee. I want you to experience some of the things that they experienced, because those things will teach us something today. There is a sense which every one of us is involved in a journey today. We are sailing toward an unseen port, haven, that's called heaven. As we sail through our life toward this port called heaven, there's going to arise in our lives storms that will toss our vessel unmercilessly. Like the disciples, we will often think that the storms are going to destroy us. We're not going to live through it. We can't make it through this. It's more than we can take. But I want you to understand something at the very beginning of this. I want you to know that your storms are not sent to destroy you, but to develop you. Sometimes we go through things so that we can see clearer or have a different perspective. So God allows those storms to break over us, those difficult moments, those hardships, so that we can understand that God is a deliverer, that He is more than able in every circumstance. So we join Jesus and His disciples as they make their way across the sea. And I want to point out some observations along the way as I share this thought of the Master of the Deep. I've got 7 minutes and 16 seconds to do an hour sermon. Guess what? ain't gonna make it. So you give me a little extra time, I'll take a little extra time, but I won't take an hour. If you're not going to give me a little extra time, then I will take the next hour. So concede with me for a little bit of time. There's babies crawling around in the foyer. Okay. Hallelujah. First thing I want to look at is the power of this storm. This was a sudden, freakish kind of storms. And that happened on the Sea of Galilee often. In Mark chapter 4, verse 37, it said a furious squall came up, descended upon them all of a sudden, and the waters broke over the boat that it was nearly swamped. There was a suddenness, and that's point A under one on your outline. A suddenness. A great windstorm arose, it says in the King James Version. Storms like that were very common on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is an unusual body of water. It's relatively small, 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. That's not very large for a body of water. I grew up on Lake Okeechobee down in South Florida, and it's 32 miles across by 30 miles wide. Of course, in Lake Okeechobee, the average depth is 12 foot. In the Sea of Galilee, its depth is 150 feet. So it's small in area, but it's deep. The shoreline that surrounds it is 680 feet below sea level. So there's a lot of things going on there. Because the sea is below sea level and is surrounded by mountains, it's susceptible to sudden storms that come out of nowhere. The wind comes sweeping across the land and it goes up and over the mountains. And those sudden storms are from that rushing, falling wind. Those downdrafts upon the lake. You combine that with a thunderstorm that appears suddenly over the surrounding mountains, and the waters can be stirred into violent 20-foot waves in an instant. The sea can be calm 1 minute, and the next minute it's a raging torrent. But the storms usually don't happen at night. They happen during the heat of the day. So these men did not set out in a storm. When they set out, when Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side," there was a calm quiet upon the waters. They did not expect, because it was late in the evening, they were not expecting a storm in any fashion. Oftentimes, that's the way it is in our lives. Things are fine one moment, and then the next, the bottom has fallen out. And your hands are ringing, and your heart is beating, and your breath is coming in short spurts. 1 minute you're enjoying the fair weather of the days, and the next minute you find yourself in the middle of a terrible, horrible storm that's been cast upon you. All it takes is one phone call, and your life is turned upside down. It can happen in less than minutes, or it can take 24 hours to develop. one doctor's visit. And he comes in with that look and those words. One tick of the clock, and suddenly the storm descends upon you and begins to ravage your life. Sometimes you feel like you're gasping, trying to make it through. But those kind of things shouldn't surprise us. The Bible says that storms will come our way. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, men born of women or a woman are of a few days and full of trouble. Our lives are short and much trouble arises. Read the book of Job, how it developed in his life. In one day, he lost everything except a cranky wife. He would have traded any of the other things for her, I'm sure. John 16:33, Jesus, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And Jesus wants us to understand that. In fact, you're probably in one of three places right at this moment. You're either in a storm, you're just coming out of a storm, or you're heading into one. Don't want to pop nobody's bubble, but you're probably one of those three. Sudden storms are a part of our existence on this earth. The doctor says cancer and our world falls apart. Late one night, your phone rings and you pick it up and it says, I'm Sergeant so-and-so with the Highway Patrol. And your heart falls. You don't know what's happened. Are you Mr. Lewis? Yes, I am. And then he tells you a member of your family's been in a wreck, or possibly even worse, one of your children have been arrested. And everything stops. And your heart begins to race and your mind is going crazy. What am I going to do? So suddenly, there it was. And point B is it's severe. So it's severity. The ship was almost sank, swamped. These seasoned fishermen were scared. It's hard to get an old salt scared. But I've seen them scared. Me and my partner in our boat, when those 20-footers were breaking, some of them breaking into the boat, we watched $4,000 worth of tools and equipment go overboard. I'm standing holding on to a rope, and I can reach out and touch a wave. I look back at my partner, and he was as white as a sheet. And I thought to myself, Bernie, you better get scared. And you better make your peace. These guys, they had been there before. And now all of a sudden, they are frightened. They're shocked. The ship is rocking and reeling. It's full of water. And they're afraid it's about to sink. It was a violent storm, and it was in the darkness of night. They could not see anything. They didn't know where they were. They didn't know how close they were to the shore and all the other rocks. They didn't know if they were about to run into one of the other little ships that were there. They were in terrible danger, and they feared for their lives. When the storms of life come our way, they're often severe and they cause us great distress and pain. There are storms of suffering that break upon us. They blow into our lives and they devastate us with heartache and heartbreak and turmoil. One problem will arise after another, and you and I will be buried under a blizzard of anguish. Many of you here in this room, you can testify about storms of suffering that came your way. Others face those storms of sorrows. Someone you love dearly is called away by death, and it leaves you grief-stricken. You're shaken because of the loss. Sorrow touches every life. Jesus was in their boat, and they were still distraught by a storm of sorrow, severity, and suddenness. Still others of you in life, you are engulfed by storms of sin. You blew it. You made a mistake. You goofed. And sin has entered. And when sin enters our heart, it usually enters during a pleasant, calm breeze. When things are looking up and the sun is shining and we feel good about ourselves. Sin always promises the best. It's shiny and glittery. But soon it begins to display its darker side. Sin will rip through your life like a tornado, leaving a trail of damage. Destruction will be rampant. The only thing that can heal, the only thing that can deliver from that is the very blood of Jesus that we were singing about today. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. He and He alone can give forgiveness. Some of you face that storm today. You've let things creep into your life. You've allowed things that come like a storm. It looked so pleasant when you began on that journey, but now you're in so deep and you don't know what to do. How many times I've sat across the desk from somebody and their words are, "I never meant for it to be like this." A wife or a husband that's gone astray. Someone who might have become an addict. Nobody intends to fall into those traps. Or it could be like the gentleman that said, "I was having a difficult time, so I just embezzled a little bit of money. Nobody ever found out, and it was so easy that I did it again, and then I did it again, and Now I've been gambling it away, and it's been over several $100,000. And I think they're about to find it out, Pastor. Those storms come. And when they come, they bring fear and anxiety and pain. Some of you are in pain today. Some that are watching, they're in pain. I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear it clearly, because I know that it's true. I want you to know that there's no storm on heaven or on earth that heaven cannot calm. Nothing has come against you that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, can't say, "Peace, be still." There is no problem so great that Jesus cannot fix it. Bring that storm to Him. Lay it at His feet and let Him deal with it. And you just be obedient to Him. Some of you are hurting. If I found out anything in pastoring 40-something years, it's that you never really know what's going on out there. Some have come to service with such deep, deep pain. Pain that would put most of us on our knees and take all the energy from us. So I'm saying to you this morning, if your heart is hurting, if your life is anxious, if there's a dread, a fear, because storms are breaking upon you, bring it to Him. And lay it at His feet today. Bow your heads with me, would you please?